Okay, let's pray. Father, we just love you. We welcome your presence here. Without your presence, there's just no reason to be here. It's all about you, Lord. We depend on you. We depend on you to anoint your words, your message. Lord, to open us up to receive what you have to say to us tonight. Just thank you for your mercy and your love. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you are holy and good and righteous and pure. Thank you that you're merciful and kind. We thank you, God, that you are so creative, that you have so much in store for us when we walk with you. You are just awesome. You're funny, Lord. You have a sense of humor. And you weep, God. You're so compassionate. We are just in love with you. But we need to be deeper in love with you. We need to know you deeper, Lord. We ask you to take us deeper. Take us out of our shallow lives, our shallow focus. Open up the spirit realm and just let us see what you see. See with your eyes, oh God. Be able to love from your heart, a love that's incomprehensible. God, you are everything we crave and we don't even know. We depend on you tonight. Reveal yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Announcing Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about. Announcing Jesus. A lot of us have made some decisions recently. We've made some choices for God. We've come into a season of repentance. We're going to be hearing that word a lot, that repentance word, because God is trying to take us to a new level. And what's been blocking us from another level are the deceptions, the things that we aren't aware of, the things that are holding us, strongholds that keep us in the place where we're at, and we can't see further, we can't go further. And God has been wanting to break through some barriers in us. So recently, he's been doing things in us that's making us want more of God, a hunger to do more, a hunger to go to a better place, a hunger to change. The problem with repentance is the devil is keeping an eye on you. If you're not growing or doing anything, he's just staying aware, saying, yeah, check, he's okay, he's not going to do anything. Yeah, check, she's content, got her set. Uh-oh, there's one over there that's starting to work. They're starting to move. I got to trip them up. New levels, new devils. As soon as you decide that you want to try, you want to grow, you want to change, bam, you get hit. And he hits you in many ways. You might think you've got all your guards up, you're ready for your defending yourself, and he'll hit you through somebody else, through something else. If Janiyah doesn't mind, I'm going to use her for an illustration tonight. Janiyah has just gone off the deep end in worship. I mean, she's just gone wacky in worship. She's playing it all the time. She comes over here, grabs my computer, and just turns on the worship and fills my house with it and goes around singing day and night. And she's just in love with God, ready to go to another level in worship. So she's like, I don't want anger anymore. I don't want that. I just want to walk with God so I can go deeper in worship. And what happens? The kids act up. The kids throw fits. So that's okay. I got it. The kids always throw fits. I know that. They're not going to get to me. Tempe wets the bed. Sahara wets her clothing. Same day. The dog goes up and wets in Hassan's room. Still hanging in there. Same day. The cat. Is it three times now? Or two? Two times the cat got on Janiyah's big king-sized bed and wet everything. How did that come out of that teeny-weeny cat? We can't figure out, you know. Demonic bladder. So she brought this big, giant comforter over. I had to dry that comforter five times to get it dry. It's so thick. And the cat does it again. But on the third time, on the same day all the other wets are going on, the cat has diarrhea on her bed. Janiyah got frustrated.
I didn't hear that.
So Janiyah is totally frustrated. I show up, Janiyah's in tears, and I'm frustrated. I'm angry. And what do we think then? What? Laundry room, same day the washer wouldn't work. All this laundry and the washer won't work. Well, that's because she told Jackson to go put something in it, but he didn't realize it was in the midst of a load already, so he just opened the door and water all over and flooded the laundry room. So Janiyah is all frustrated, and I'm really helpful, you know. I'm quite irritating because I just come in grinning, you know. It's like, oh, smack you, Mom. But God gave me a song for Janiyah, and I'm going to make her sing it.
Now,
yeah.
I will rise up, I will rise up, I will rise again. When I rise up, I worship Him.
All of it. You may trip me.
You can trip me, you can hurt me, you can make me sin. I will rise up, I will rise up, I will rise again. You can't stop me, you can't stop me, you can't stop me with sin. I'm a sinner, He's a Savior, I worship.
Rise up, I will rise up, I will rise again. And I rise up, I will rise, I will worship Him. See, I write them, but I can't remember them. I tried all day yesterday to remember that, and I couldn't remember the words nor the tune. Yeah. Oh, one more. Go.
Didn't stop Him, didn't stop Him. With the cross, He was beaten, He was buried, but He rose for us.
Amen.
Amen. I wrote that because God, you know, I was standing there praying for her. She's crying and falling apart and upset. And you know what she was upset with? She was upset with Janiyah. She was upset with herself because that's what the devil does. He throws everything at us to push our buttons. And then when he succeeds, then he starts piling shame on us. You're never going to do this. You're not going to make it. You can't do it. You got a bad temper. You're impatient. You can't endure. You're intolerant. He starts accusing us and making us feel like failures. And then he beats us. And then we go back. We step back. We step back to a comfort zone where he wasn't picking on us so much. We go, I'm just going to back up a little bit, you know, because he's really after me. And if I just didn't play that worship all day long, maybe he'd back off. Yeah, maybe he would. So would God. And you don't want to live there. So, these decisions we've made, if you've made some decisions, if you've come through some repentance and some desire to go further, then I know you've been under attack. And I know you've probably failed in sin some in the last week or two. Because that's how it goes. That's how it works. Let's confess our own sin here, Nate. Are you trying to get his hand up in the air? Oh, I thought you were trying to make him confess. He said, get your hand up. So when you make a choice for God, there's going to be retaliation. The devil retaliates against that. He comes after you. But there's a process of deliverance. To get from one area where the enemy has control, and to get to another area where God's getting the victory, is going to take you through a season of turmoil, a season of conflict within you, and that's normal. It's a good sign. It's proof that you really want God. You hate what you're doing, and that's all repentance really is. It's not victory. Repentance is not you doing better. Repentance is hating the sin that so easily does beset you. It's hating it. I love God and I hate this thing I do. Good, then you're in repentance.
Right.
You hate it. That is repentance. Deliverance is God's job, not
right.
yours.
Exactly.
Deliverance is God's job. Just keep hating it. You're doing real good. The enemy speaks half-truths to us in that place. Half-truths. Half of what he says is true, and half of what he says is a lie. He starts off by saying, you are impatient, and you're never going to make it, and you're never going to change. You might as well give up. He starts with the truth and ends with a lie. So agree with thine adversary quickly while you're in the way with him. Agree with the part that's true. Satan, you're right. I am impatient. I am impatient. I am a sinner. I will sin because I am a sinner and I am impatient. That's my sin that I'm dealing with and I hate it. And you are right and I am impatient. And I'm going to take it to Jesus now and tell him again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did it again. Please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness because I am the sinner.
Right.
I am the sinner. Then let him know he's a liar about the rest. I want you to picture, if you were the announcer, I don't want this on, I'm just playing with it. Jesus is coming here tonight and I am the announcer. How do you announce the arrival of someone? It's all about Jesus. It's all about the one you're announcing, right? You don't come out on the stage and say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I just want you to know, I want you to know I'm doing a pretty good job of following him. You know, I want to tell you all the success of how I follow him and what a beautiful voice he gave me and how I use it to glorify him. And I want you to know, shut up! Show us Jesus! Oh, I'm the announcer. Jesus is coming. You're going to love it when Jesus comes. But let me tell you, I'm just failing him so badly. I'm just drowning in shame because I'm such a rotten sinner. And shut up! Show me Jesus! Announce Jesus in your life.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. If you're his announcer, then focus on him. Take your eyes off yourself. Don't walk around all day. How good am I doing? Am I doing good? Oh, feeling good now. Pride's up. Oh, I'm really feeling ashamed. I don't want anyone to see me. Pride's down. But it's still pride. I don't want anybody to look at my failure. Pride is the number one enemy of Jesus. He is the humble king. He is meek and lowly and servant-hearted. He is tender and merciful and forgiving. He is loving and gracious, and he is awesome. Announce Jesus. Because he never fails. And
right.
You never have to make apology when you announce Jesus. So, good evening. I'm the sinner who's announcing a Savior. And you're going to love it when he enters. So let's just look at him. Get your eyes off me. Let's just look at Jesus. Announce Jesus in your life. Your life is the stage that is supposed to announce the King who is coming. Tell them all about him. We're going to have a visitor. The King of Heaven is going to show up. I want to tell you who he is so you'll be ready when he comes. Let me announce this God of Heaven who wants to meet you. Keep the focus on him, not on you. Pride comes before the fall. When pride comes, you got a guaranteed fall right behind it. When you think you're doing good, you are about to hit the floor again, just like Harvey did at the party.
Slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
What a
Slam dunk. The minute you're standing there thinking, wow, that was so awesome. How well did I deliver that message? I delivered it really well. Then I was funny. I made good points. I flew right through it. How did I sing that song? Man, I didn't miss a note. My voice was good tonight. You're about to hit the floor.
Right.
Because I don't care how good you speak, how funny you are, or how well you sing. It doesn't matter. It can only reach ears. It might even tingle a heart. But the power of transforming a life happens in the spirit, and you have no power to get there. You can't get there. And as long as you're in pride, God can't get there through you. If we could just grip the fact that it's only as we depend on him, it's only as he flows through us, a spirit can be transformed. A life can be changed. Healing, the impossible issues can happen. It's only through him. So we need to just praise him. Look to him. Depend on him. When the devil tells you, you are impatient, agree with him and then point him to Jesus. You are right again. I am impatient and you push my buttons and I sin and I am impatient. But Jesus is not. He is so patient. He is so kind. He is so loving. Just start praising him.
Right.
Start praising that very attribute that he does have.
Right.
You are scared of people. I know, I'm such a coward. But you know what? He's not. He is so bold. He's not afraid of anybody. So I'm just going to let him get inside of me, and I'm going to walk right behind him and let him go first.
Amen.
You're so selfish. Absolutely. We are all so selfish. We all worry about, do I want to do that? How do I feel about that? Are they looking at me? Do they like me? You know what? Total selfishness. But he's not.
Right.
He's always looking at others. He's always out of his comfort zone. He lived out of his comfort zone. He made a choice to stay out of the comfort zone. And that's where he's taking us. Self-pity. I don't have anything in my life. I don't have anyone in my life. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough clothes. I don't have enough friends. I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. And you know what? You could flip that and you could have all of it and still be miserable.
Right.
Probably even more miserable.
Because
right. He's the only thing worth having.
Amen.
He's the only satisfaction there is. He created you with a purpose for you. And the intimacy in him is the only place you'll ever plug into who you really are. Doesn't matter what we don't have. Jesus never felt sorry for himself. Sometimes he didn't like his life. He didn't like it. He didn't like it in the garden when he knew what was coming the next day. And he said, Father, if this cup can't pass, then I'll drink it. Not my will, but yours. That means he had a will that did not want to get crucified. He didn't want to. We're so spoiled in America. Why aren't you doing this? I don't want to. So? Do it anyway. But it's going to hurt. So? He'll be there with you. But he can only do it as he does it in you. Victory begins with the name of Jesus on our lips. It doesn't consummate until we have the presence of Jesus in our hearts. It's not about us. You know, it doesn't consummate until we live with a focus on him. Because we are transformed as we behold his glory. As we behold him, we're changed. As we look at him, things just change. So when you're not patient, you can't help it, you hate it, agree with the devil, then go find Jesus. Because as you're looking at him, his patience can come upon you. His patience can rise up in you. He can overcome that if we depend on him. We get mad because we're expecting ourselves to change. We expect ourselves to do better. I know what's right. Why am I not doing it? I know what I ought to do. Why don't I do it? You can't. You're incapable. Have you been chosen by him? Have you been chosen by God?
Yes.
Well, I just have to tell you what that means about you. It means 2 Corinthians. Am I in the right place? Probably not. No, I don't want to go there yet. We're going to get there in a minute. We'll get there in a minute. So it isn't about what you do. It is about who Jesus has become to you. It's about who he is to you. That's what it's all about. Not about what you do. But I want to talk about our thought patterns for a minute. He wants to demolish and tear down all the strongholds in our life that make it impossible to live for him. Those thought patterns, those strongholds, are thought patterns in our brain. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you believe about yourself, that's what you're going to do. If you walk around saying, I'm lazy, I'm lazy, I'm lazy, I'm just always so tired, I'm lazy, then you won't do anything because it's too hard. You believe you're too lazy. I'm so tired. You believe that. Until somebody walks up and says, want to go shopping? They got a sale going on down here on that dress you wanted, and it's only today. Man, you just found so much energy. 5 minutes ago, you're too tired to breathe, and now you're up, combing your hair, getting on the makeup, grabbing your purse, getting those car keys. I got to go get that dress today. Motivation. Energy. Because you don't believe that lie anymore. Now you can because you want to. We might believe that we're too weak, but we are not too weak because Christ in us. We can do all things through Him. We can't do it on our own. But those strongholds in our thinking have to come down. We need truth. That begins with repentance, and that's where God is taking us. It begins with repentance. But repentance may not be what you think it is. Repentance is not you making a decision to change, to stop doing something, or to start doing something. Repentance toward God is you wanting God, wanting Him to have His way in you because you want Him. And then it's you admitting, I cannot do this. I can't change myself. I can't overcome sin. I cannot do it, but I hate this sin that dwells within me. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. I don't do what I want to do, and I go do what I don't want to do. Who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Jesus. But you know what? I read chapter 7, and I get kind of, you know, beat up by sin, like, oh, I'm so hopeless, you know? But then we go to chapter 8, and he says, but if you walk in the Spirit, if you would walk in the Spirit, He will live in you. He will overpower that sin. It's walking in the Spirit of God. When we are trying in the flesh, all we do is fail because we can't do it in the flesh. God loves to tell us to do what He knows we cannot do. Love your neighbor. I don't like my neighbor. Love them with a pure heart, but I don't like my neighbor. I hate my neighbor. Well, I'm commanding you to love them. I can't. I know. He loves to tell us to do what we can't do. He's trying to make a point. You need me to do what you can't do. You need me. Revelation is needed of our thoughts. In Luke 2:35, speaking to the mother of Jesus about the crucifixion coming up for Jesus, the second portion of that verse says, the reason why He was going to be crucified, one of the reasons, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Once your heart grabs a belief, it affects your mind, which affects all your actions. What you believe about you affects everything you do. The thoughts of your heart toward yourself, toward God, affects everything you do. God is after the thoughts to bring in truth that will set you free. The thoughts of our heart are why we fail and then hate ourselves and then bury ourselves in shame and then revert back to a place of comfort where we can feel better about ourselves. You don't need to feel better about yourself. You don't need to feel worse about yourself. You just happen to be the sinner, not the Savior. You happen to be the sinner. You have to walk in the Spirit of God and let Him be the one that conquers your sin, because you cannot do it. Any system that is totally hopeless, that brings you to shame, will lead you to failure every time. And the more times you fail, the more you believe that lie. Now we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which is where I hope you got my iPad turned to. Starting in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Got some weird word here. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. That's what we preach. The Greeks say that's foolish. And the Jews say, I want proof. I want proof. Why would a crucified person be the Messiah? We thought he'd come in power and rule the world. You're killing him. You're crucified him. That can't be the Messiah. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren? Okay, you're called, you're chosen. I want you to see your calling now. Look at it with me. How that not many wise men after the flesh. Oh, God just called us all kind of dumb. Not many mighty. Oh, you bunch of weaklings. Not many noble. You're just common people. Commoners. Serfs, is that what they call them? Serfs? I lost my place, so I'm looking for it. 26. Oh, I already read 26. Are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. You're a bunch of foolish things. To confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Foolish weaklings. And base things. You think you're classy because you cleaned up and wore some jewelry? God says we're base. We are base. Things that are despised has God chosen. Yes. And things that are not. To bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What do you think he expects from you? He chose you because you're foolish. He chose you because you're weak. He chose you because you're base. So what do you think he expects you to be able to do? He doesn't expect you to be able to do it. If you could do it, he couldn't choose you because you would walk around in pride doing it and not let him, not depend on him. So to show him, he had to pick us that can't do a darn thing for him. But of him are you in Christ, Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I'm up here to glory tonight. I want to just glory a little bit for you, because I'm an unwise thing. I didn't have any wisdom in my life before I met God. I hungered and thirsted after wisdom. I lived in the book of Proverbs, eating the wisdom of God. I didn't have any love in my heart. I was cold, locked up. I had already reached a point where I said, I don't care what you do, because nothing you do touches me anyway. Stay or leave, that's your choice. I was still that way when I married Harvey. Okay, I'll marry you because you've practically beat me to death and pursued me and won't take no for an answer. And I give in. I'll marry you if that's what you want. But guess what? You can leave anytime you want, and I won't even care, because I'm not going to need you. I'm not going to depend on you. And I'll be nice to you, but I'm not really going to open my heart to you. That's where I was when I met him. I didn't even finish high school. But I was called to be a teacher. But I quit school because I got pregnant in ninth grade. And back then, you didn't go to school pregnant. You barely lived on this face of this earth pregnant. The phone calls were horrendous, of ridicule. And just so you wouldn't even believe the phone calls, you had to hide yourself away back then. So that was shameful. That wasn't wise. It wasn't smart. by the mercy of God, He picked me up out of all my foolishness, out of all my baseness, out of all my cold-heartedness. I will glory in Him because He's given me wisdom, His wisdom. I'm still not wise. I'm still pretty dumb. My thoughts will lead me to a wrong conclusion every time. I want to figure this out. I can study. I'm a smart person. I can study. I go to school, but I'm really brilliant, you know. But I can study and study and figure it out and be wrong every time. But when I say, Jesus, what does this mean? And He shows me, I'm flabbergasted. I'm just, wow, wow, what revelation of wisdom. So when I lean on Him, I get great wisdom. I read His Word and I get great wisdom. I still don't know how to love. God can tell me to love someone and try as I may. That person can just make me sick. I can't stand the thought of touching them. But when He rises up in me, I can love the dirtiest, sweatiest, smelliest person and feel this love of God pouring out on this one I can't love. Because He loves them through me. And when He does something through you, you get to feel it too. And it changes you. We are weak, but He is strong. So when we expect something from ourselves, all we can find is disappointment, failure again, frustration, and shame. But He doesn't expect anything but our love and our dependency to walk in His Spirit. And He knows we will fall. He knows we will sin again and again. The repentance is, I hate it when I do. I hate it when I do. And that pleases God. Never get to a place where you go, oh, well, everybody sins, so what? Let's go sin. But hate it when you sin, because that pleases Him. That you don't want it. You want Him. You need to show them Jesus. Stop looking at you. It's another little song the kids are singing. In my freedom. I can't think of the words. No more worrying about what folks. I got to be free. Stop thinking about me. No more worrying about who might see me in my freedom. You want to be free. Living through me. No more fearing who might see you living in my freedom. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. You will fall and fall and fall. But when you stand up praising Jesus, because He never falls. Stand up pointing back to Him. You can make me fall. You can make me sin, but I will rise up again. And when I do, I will rise up worshiping Him because He never fails me. He never falls. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The devil attacks the place of your peace where you rise, where you live in God. If you go to Proverbs 24, in verse 15, God warns the enemy, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. Spoil not his resting place. Quit messing with my people, knocking them off their peace. Never defend your image. It's frustrating and hopeless. Never defend your own image. But proclaim the righteousness of Christ. Announce the coming of Christ. Proclaim Jesus. Who is this King of Glory? Tell me about Him. You know, I know people that haven't conquered sin habits. Right out in the bar, they see somebody hurting and they start telling them about Jesus. And they could say to you, huh, you're going to tell me about Jesus? He's not helping you. Oh, yes, he is. He's loving me. And he will get me out of here. He will, because he can. Father, I just pray that you will encourage people this week. Maybe Janiya can sing them that song until they learn it. We will fall, we will sin, but we will rise up again. And we will praise you. It's all about you. It's all about you. May we not defend our image, but proclaim yours. Thank you, Jesus.